Soundstripe.
Welcome to the Artificial Intelligence Podcast, where we dive deep into the wisdom and intelligence, or should we say, the artificial intelligence of Toronto's city government. In this podcast, we'll explore the latest happenings, decisions, and policies shaping our city, all through the lens of cutting-edge AI technology. Whether it's policy debates, urban development, or the key issues affecting daily life in Toronto, we're here to break it down and give you a fresh, insightful perspective. Stay tuned as we unpack the latest in city governance with a mix of smart analysis and sharp commentary.
All right, so let's get right into it with this Toronto City Council meeting from October 9th, 2024.
Absolutely.
We've got transcripts, reports, even some AI analysis of the meeting.
Yeah.
A lot to go through.
Yeah, it's going to be a long one for sure.
But we'll break it down.
We'll break it all down, don't you worry. And we'll
highlight what matters.
Highlight what matters.
Most for you.
Exactly. And what I think is so interesting about this particular meeting is just the variety of topics they covered.
Yeah.
You know, and how even though they seem separate on the surface, there are these really key themes that kind of weave their way through everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, of course, financial constraints are always there.
Right.
But also this push and pull between what needs to be addressed right now versus what, you know, what needs to be planned for the long term.
Yeah.
And how do you balance all these different interests in a city as diverse as Toronto?
It's a challenge.
It is.
They kick things off by celebrating 150 years of firefighting service in Toronto.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
It's a long time.
It is a long time.
Yeah.
But that kind of celebratory mood quickly gave way to a much more serious discussion.
Yeah. You know, they use that celebration of history to really springboard into this debate about fire safety today in Toronto.
Yeah.
And this kind of shocking statistic came out that only 4 out of 10 homes in the city have working smoke detectors.
That's scary.
It is, you would think.
You'd think.
With a city like Toronto, you know, it would be more widespread.
For sure.
That's exactly what Councillor Fletcher and several others brought up.
Yeah.
You know, they really wanted to push their colleagues to make this a priority.
Yeah.
Arguing that the city needs to do more to educate people about fire safety, the importance of smoke detectors.
And how to tackle that. Like, what's the way to go?
Exactly. And so you had different perspectives come out, right?
Yeah.
Some councillors, like Councillor Bravo, were suggesting providing subsidies for smoke detectors in lower income areas to ensure equity, which makes total sense. And that's where those competing priorities really come in. You know, on the one hand.
Yeah.
There's this immediate need to improve safety.
Across the board.
Across the board. But then how do you fund these things?
Especially with the budget.
Especially with the budget being so tight.
As always.
As always. And that's where, you know, Councillor Holliday, who is known for his
very fiscally
conservative approach.
Yeah.
He kind of came in and he said, you know, we should be focusing on better enforcement of existing laws rather than, you know, adding these new subsidy programs.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's that classic debate you always see, you know, direct assistance versus personal responsibility.
Right.
And it seems like in this case, they landed somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
You know, recognizing that there needs to be kind of a multi-pronged approach here.
Education.
Education, some financial help.
Enforcement.
And stricter enforcement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was all about finding that middle ground, which is really a theme that we saw throughout this whole meeting.
Absolutely. And it really came up again in the next big debate, which focused on student nutrition.
Yes. Mayor Chow, she made a strong case for expanding this universal student nutrition program.
Uh-huh.
You know, the goal being to provide free meals to 8,000 students by early 2025.
Wow.
Yeah. A huge step, you know, in combating child hunger. But
of course, the funding question comes up.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, you know, especially given how much this is going to cost.
Yeah.
You can imagine the debate that sparked. So,
sure.
Councillor Holliday, again, he raises concerns about the long-term financial sustainability of the program, suggesting maybe a more, you know, phased approach to expanding it. But then Councillor Fletcher, she comes back with this really powerful argument. She says, children cannot wait.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's a statement that really kind of cut to the heart of the issue.
Yeah.
And it seemed to really resonate with a lot of the councillors.
Yeah.
Even those who were concerned about the budget.
So did anything come out of that?
It's interesting because Councillor Bradford, who often tries to find that common ground, he jumped in with a compromise and he proposed that the city should actively seek funding from the provincial and federal governments to kind of, you know, share the burden a bit.
Smart.
It is smart. You know, he's framing it as a shared responsibility rather than just dumping it all on the city.
Right.
And that seemed to appeal to the council because the motion to implement the program with Bradford's amendment.
They passed that.
He passed it with a clear majority. So
a big win for the students.
A big win for the students.
And for food security.
Absolutely. Then they moved on to something a bit more electrifying, you could say.
Oh, what's that?
Remember those electric ferries the city ordered for the Toronto Islands?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A great example of trying to balance environmental responsibility
with
budget realities. It turns out those ferries need new docks.
Okay.
And these upgrades are not cheap.
So more debate.
You guessed it. Councillor Pasternak, who was always, you know, scrutinizing the big spending projects.
Yeah.
He questioned the cost of these upgrades, especially yeah. given the budget. But then Councillor Bradford,
who likes that long-term thinking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He framed it as a crucial investment in sustainable transportation.
Right.
And meeting those climate goals.
It makes sense.
And then Councillor Perks, who's a real advocate for these environmental initiatives, you know,
yeah.
she added to that by saying, you know, we shouldn't see these sorts of projects as optional extras.
Right.
These are essential.
For the city's future.
Exactly. For the yeah. city's future. So it was really about shifting that perspective.
Yeah,
you know,
interesting.
From nice to have to must have.
Yeah, I like that.
So they did end up approving the dock upgrades.
Okay.
But they included a directive for city staff to look into other funding options.
So public-private partnerships.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, anything to kind of ease the burden on the city.
So another compromise.
Another compromise, yeah. exactly. And then we get to a topic that really got people talking.
Oh, feel it coming.
The runway safety upgrades at Billy Bishop Airport.
Mm. This is where we see those competing priorities
yeah.
really come to a head.
Safety versus environment.
Exactly. The upgrades are needed to comply with federal regulations.
Right.
But there are very valid concerns about the impact on the environment and residents.
Right.
So Councillor Fletcher, who is a strong voice for environmental protection, he pushed for a thorough environmental impact assessment.
Of course.
Before any work starts. But Councillor Holliday, who, you know, often wants things streamlined.
Yeah.
He saw this as an unnecessary delay.
Interesting.
So you see that tension again, right?
Yeah.
Between immediate action.
And the more cautious approach.
Exactly. And it played out throughout the entire discussion.
So how did they land?
They landed on another compromise.
Okay.
Approving the upgrades, but with the condition that this impact assessment has to be done first.
All right. So safety concerns addressed, but...
But they are taking those environmental concerns seriously.
Okay. Good to hear. And then... Then they got to traffic.
Oh, yeah.
This is an issue that affects everyone.
Pretty much every Torontonian on a daily basis.
Daily basis.
Yeah.
So what do they talk about?
Well, Councillor Bradford, you know, he's always thinking about the infrastructure.
Yeah.
And he had this interesting idea. He proposed creating a central office to coordinate all the different infrastructure projects happening across the city.
Interesting.
Yeah. His argument was that this would help reduce congestion and just make things more efficient overall.
Okay. So how do people feel about that?
Well, you know, some councillors like Councillor Holliday, they worried that this would just create more bureaucracy.
Red tape?
Yeah, red tape and potentially even increase costs.
Okay.
But then Councillor Perks, she pushed back against that. She said the current system where different departments and contractors are kind of working in silos
yeah.
is actually really inefficient.
Makes sense.
And leads to all these delays and frustration.
Yeah, that's right.
And of course, Bradford had a solution for that, too.
What was that?
A public dashboard where people could track all the ongoing and upcoming construction projects.
That would be amazing.
In real time, it's all about transparency, right?
Yeah.
Holding the city accountable.
Oh, exactly.
So the motion to create this new office did pass.
Okay.
But they did add a requirement for a progress report after a year.
So they're keeping an eye on it?
Exactly. They're going to see if it's actually working.
Makes sense. Before we get into the afternoon session, can we just talk about the presentation by Toronto's first ever Youth Poet Laureate Shahada Jag.
Oh, absolutely. That was such a beautiful and powerful moment.
It really was.
That poem for our city,
yeah.
you know, it just brought to life the experiences of Black youth in Toronto.
Yeah.
And how important it is that their voices are heard.
For sure.
In these discussions about the future of the city.
It was such a great way to kind of remind everyone, you know.
Yeah.
These aren't just about budgets and infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
They're about people.
Absolutely. About creating a city that's inclusive and representative of all its residents.
For sure. That was a perfect transition into the afternoon session.
Which got even more heated.
We'll have to see what happened next.
Yeah, so we're back, and you'd think maybe things would ease up a bit in the afternoon session.
Right.
But no, they actually picked up pretty quickly, especially when they got back to that issue of Billy Bishop Airport.
Makes sense.
Yeah, this time it was all about that proposed runway extension, to meet those Transport Canada safety regulations we talked
It was
about.
like round two.
Yeah, round two of the Billy Bishop debate, and this time the stakes felt even higher.
They did for sure.
Yeah.
So what were the options?
Right. So there were three main options on the table for how to approach this extension, each with its own, pros and cons.
Wait on me.
Okay. So option one, that was the simplest and quickest,
Okay.
involving the least amount of lake filling,
Okay.
but it also meant the least potential for, expanding the airport in the future.
Right. So it's kind of a limited option.
Exactly. Then you had options two and three, which were much more complex, involved more lake filling.
So bigger environmental impact.
Yeah, for sure. But they also allowed for more flexibility down the road,
To expand the airport.
Right. So you can see how this really brought those competing priorities front and center.
Totally. Immediate needs versus long-term planning, safety versus the environment.
Exactly. And to kind of address that, Mayor Chow actually introduced a motion to go with option one, emphasizing that they needed to meet that safety deadline as soon as possible and, also minimize that environmental impact.
Sounds reasonable, but I'm guessing not everyone was on board.
You guessed it, Councillor Malik. He was supporting the mayor's motion, and he stressed the urgency of meeting that 2027 deadline, the one imposed by Transport Canada. He argued that option one was the most responsible choice, from both a safety and environmental perspective.
Okay, I can see that argument, but I bet some people weren't happy about that lake filling at all.
Right, and some councillors, especially those representing waterfront areas like Councillor Perks, they weren't fully convinced.
Yeah.
They voiced concerns about even that minimal amount of lake filling. Their argument was any encroachment on the lakefront should be approached super carefully.
Makes sense. And were there any other perspectives on this?
Yeah, Councillor Thomas brought up a really important point that I think often gets overlooked in these fast-paced debates:
What's that?
the lack of public consultation on the issue.
Yeah, that's huge.
He argued that a decision this big, with the potential to impact the waterfront and the surrounding neighborhoods so much, it deserved more input from the people of Toronto.
Right, decisions are made by those who show up. And in this case, it seemed like a lot of people felt left out.
Yeah, that's a big issue in city politics all the time, right?
Yeah, how do you balance the need to make decisions and make sure that citizens have a real chance to be heard?
Exactly. And this debate really highlighted that tension. So you had Councillor Burnside, for example. He was advocating for those longer term options,
The ones that would allow for expansion.
Exactly. He was emphasizing the airport's economic importance and the need to plan for that future growth.
Okay, and then on the other side.
You had others like Councillor Fletcher pushing back, emphasizing environmental protection, the concerns of the people who live right near the airport.
Right, it's like all these different values and priorities coming into play.
Exactly. And that's what makes these meetings so interesting to follow,
You see all these different perspectives clashing.
You get a sense of how those clashes are going to shape the future of the city.
It's like a microcosm of the bigger debates we see happening, all over the world.
Exactly. So, with all that back and forth, what was the final outcome?
Yeah, what happened? Well, in a move that I think surprised some people, they actually voted in favor of option one.
Wow, so the fastest and least environmentally disruptive option.
Exactly. It seems like the urgency of that safety deadline and wanting to keep the environmental impact as small as possible that really swayed the majority.
Makes sense, but it wasn't unanimous, right?
Oh, not all. There were still a lot of counselors who had reservations.
Yeah.
They questioned whether this was truly the best long-term solution. So the debate about Billy Bishop is far from over.
I don't think it'll ever truly be over.
Okay, but before we go any further, there's one more thing I wanted to touch on.
Okay, what's that?
The city solicitor being asked to attend those TLAB hearings related to Billy Bishop.
Oh, yeah, that's a really interesting detail. It suggests that there are some legal things happening behind the scenes that could have a big impact.
Okay, so break it down for me. What are these TLAB hearings and why is the city solicitor getting involved?
So TLAB stands for the Toronto Local Appeal Body. It's an independent tribunal that hears appeals on, planning and development stuff in the city.
Okay, so like if there are disputes about land use or zoning or, development projects, people can go to this TLAB to try to get a decision changed.
Exactly. And in this case with Billy Bishop, it seems like there are some ongoing disputes that could really impact the airport's ability to, expand or even just operate as it does
So
now.
this isn't just a formality. The stakes are pretty high.
Absolutely. And the fact that they want the city solicitor there means the city is taking this seriously.
Yeah, they want to be involved, not just watching from the sidelines.
Right. It's about trying to shape the outcome, you know, protecting the city's interests.
So give me the scenarios. What's the best case scenario for the city and what's the worst case?
Okay, so let's imagine the best case scenario for those who want to see the airport grow.
Okay.
Maybe some of those zoning restrictions get loosened up.
Okay.
Or some of those land disputes get resolved in a way that opens up more space.
So basically, they could pave the way for a bigger, busier airport.
Exactly. They could add more gates, expand the terminal, even accommodate bigger planes. And if the city has been involved in those legal proceedings, they'll be in a good spot to, you know, capitalize on those opportunities.
But what about the flip side? What if it doesn't go the city's way?
Right. So in that case, maybe the TLEB upholds stricter noise regulations.
Right.
Or imposes tighter environmental restrictions.
So less flights or smaller planes or even scaling back operations.
It could happen. It all comes down to those legal arguments and how things play out in front of the tribunal.
So these TLAB hearings are a wild card.
Yeah, they could really swing things one way or the other, and it shows how much of local politics is about what happens behind closed doors.
Right. Those legal battles, the backroom negotiations, that's where a lot of the action is.
Exactly. It's a good reminder that those council meetings with all the speeches and the debates,
they're just one part of the story.
Right. You have to dig deeper to really understand how things work in the city.
And that's what we're all about here, right?
Exactly. Uncovering those layers, helping you understand the power dynamics at play.
Okay, so before we wrap up this part, there's one more theme I wanted to get your take on.
Okay, what's that?
That idea of balancing the need for action now with planning for the long term.
Yeah, that tension was everywhere in this meeting.
It really was. We saw it with fire safety, with student nutrition, and especially with Billy Bishop.
Right. It's like the city is constantly juggling those short-term demands with the need to invest in the future.
And it's not just about money. It's about values, too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, do we prioritize economic growth or environmental protection?
Do we focus on helping people right now, or do we invest in solutions that might take longer to work?
Tough questions, and there aren't always easy answers.
But this council is grappling with those questions, trying to figure out a path forward that works for everyone.
And that's what good leadership is all about, right?
It's not just about reacting to every crisis or making decisions based on what's politically popular.
Exactly. It's about having that vision for the future and making the choices that will help achieve it, even if those choices are tough.
And it seems like this council is at least trying to do that, even if they don't always get it right.
I agree. They're asking the right questions, exploring the options, having those hard conversations.
Right. They're trying to find that balance between, you know, what's practical and what's ideal.
Between what we need now and what we'll need in the future. And that's what we should expect from our leaders.
And those are challenges that we all face in our own lives, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely. It's that constant balancing act between the urgent and the important, the now and the later.
It's a challenge, but I think it's a good one to have.
It is. And, you know, speaking of challenges, one thing that really stood out to me in this meeting was the importance of citizen engagement in shaping the future of our city. We'll get into that right after this. We were talking about citizen engagement, you know, and it really struck me during this meeting how many of the debates, whether it was fire safety or student nutrition or the future of Billy Bishop, they all came back to that idea of people making their voices heard.
Yeah, it's easy to kind of tune out local politics sometimes.
It is.
But these decisions, they affect us every day.
Absolutely. From, you know, how safe our neighborhoods are to how good our public services are.
Exactly. And we can't just assume someone else is taking care of it.
We can't.
We have to stay informed.
We have to.
And we have to speak up.
Exactly. And I think the Billy Bishop debate really drove that point home.
Yeah.
You know, Councillor Thomas's comments about the lack of public input on that runway extension, I think that resonated with a lot of people.
Oh, did it?
It made them realize that they need to be more proactive, you know,
yeah.
especially on issues that affect their communities.
Absolutely. And that's what's so important about local politics. It's the level of government that's closest to us.
It is.
And where we can actually have the biggest impact.
Exactly. So what can people do?
Yeah. How do we get more involved?
Well, I think it starts with just staying informed. You know,
read the news,
read the local news, follow those city councilors on social media,
go to those community meetings.
Exactly. All those things help you stay up to date.
And then once you're informed, don't be shy.
Speak up.
Speak up. Contact your counselor. Go to the meetings.
Participate in those public consultations.
Make your voice heard.
It's about making those connections, you know,
yeah,
between what's happening at City Hall and what's happening on your street,
in your neighborhood.
right, in your life. And this council meeting, it really showed how people can do that.
You know, we saw counselors advocating for their constituents, pushing for different policies, proposing amendments.
They were really trying to represent those different perspectives.
That's what we want to see.
A council that reflects the people.
Exactly, that listens to those different voices and that's willing to have those tough debates.
This meeting, it was messy at times.
It was.
But it was democracy in action.
It was, you know, it wasn't always pretty.
No.
But these are complex issues.
They are.
There are no easy answers.
So what we saw was a group of people elected by Torontonians.
Right.
Coming together, trying to make the best decisions they could.
Even when those decisions were hard.
And I think that's something to be proud of.
It is, even if we don't always agree with the outcome.
So to wrap things up, what's the one message you want our listeners to take away from this whole deep dive?
I think it's this: the future of Toronto is being shaped right now. And it's not just happening at City Hall, it's happening in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in the choices that we make every day. So stay informed, get involved, make your voice heard, because the future of Toronto, it's in our hands.
That's a great message. And that's all the time we have for this week's deep dive into the Toronto City Council meeting. Thanks for joining us.